Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today. Proverbs chapter 16, I want to start a new series. I want to talk about the subject of on track. And one of the things that's really big for most of us guys is to make good time. We want to make good time. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to kind of give you just a couple of insights into maybe why we like to make good time. Here's the reason. Inevitably that even if it's maybe a year down the road, 2 years down the road, whatever the case may be, someone is going to ask us in conversation, well, how long did it take you to get there? And in that very moment, though you have trouble remembering your anniversary every year, you can recall how long it took you to get there on that one specific day, let alone 1,000 other destinations that you took and how long it took you to get there. And so with a head held high, with our muscles flexing just a little bit, and we know this is our moment, and we just with a big grin say 43 minutes. And then we wait for their response. And they say, oh, wow, it took me 55 minutes. Oh, yes, I beat them. In that moment, though we didn't win a prize, and though our wife yelled at us for most of the trip because we were speeding and cutting off all kinds of people and was mad at us for 3 days, it was worth it because we won. We got there faster than the other person did, even though we didn't win $1 million. We beat their time. Guys like to make good time. But listen, just as much as we like to make good time, we hate to get lost. Let me tell you, the reason is not because we're putting extra wear and tear on our vehicle or we're wasting gas. It's simply because we're messing up our opportunity to brag about our time. It really is that simple, ladies. And something else that we don't like to do is we don't like to make great time but end up at the wrong place. Have you ever made great time? All the lights are green. All the traffic, it's like it's the Red Sea and it just parts for you. Oh, angels are singing all the way to when you get there. And when you pull in, you find out you're at the wrong place. You ever done that before? Here just a little bit ago, friends of ours were visiting from out of town, and so they had asked, let's get together. Fair enough. We'll come your way, because it was easier for us to go. So they texted me a name of a restaurant, and they said, it's on iDrive. I said, fantastic. I know where that is. We're going to get on it. So we all climbed in the car, and man, we made great. It was impressive, the time we made getting there. I mean, I'm serious. It was like a thing of beauty. We got there. We're sitting there. All of a sudden, nobody else is showing up. And so I had this thought. Am I at the right place? Sure as you're shooting, we were at the wrong place. Little did I know that there were two of the same restaurants on iDrive. And guess which one we picked? I mean, we made great time, but we ended up at the wrong place. Now, when you really think about it, that's not really a big deal, you know, getting to the wrong restaurant. In the grand scheme of life, it's really not that big of a thing. You know, we just got the right address, we took off and we got there, we had a great time. But I got a question for you. Are there times in life when being at the wrong place is a big deal? Are there times in life when we are at the wrong place, even though we made great time, but because we're at the wrong place, our lives were deeply affected, whether it was financially or physically or spiritually, emotionally, whatever the case may happen to be? I'm sure that we can all relate to being at, the old phrase says, the wrong place at the wrong time. And we paid a price for it. Just like we can all relate to the same, on the other side of the coin, that being at the right place at the right time, we can relate to that and how wonderful it is the blessings and the benefits of being at the right place. I can tell you from experience that it's much better to be at the right place. And so, the Lord willing, over the next few weeks, we're going to see what God says about safeguarding our steps to help us to stay on track. And here's why. So not only are we going to be able to make good time, but we want to end up at the right place. Amen. So today I want to lay a foundation. So we're going to kind of lay this big foundation, and then over the next few weeks, we're going to build upon that. And so the foundation that we're building upon today for our series is in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. If you're there, say, let's go. A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his step and establishes them. Now, in the journey of life, there's lots of twists and turns. There's lots of choices. There's lots of directions, if you will, that we can take. But in all of those choices, I think if we honestly stop for just a moment and we really begin to think about it, all of those choices and all of those paths and all of those directions that we can take in this journey that we call life would fall under two basic categories. And we find them right here in our text in Proverbs chapter 16. It's my direction and God's direction. There's a way that I want to go. And then there's the way that God wants me to go. The Bible starts out by saying this: a man's mind plans his way. So let's look at my direction. Now, let's just make it clear, there's nothing wrong with making plans and setting goals. As a matter of fact, that's a key to getting to wherever we really want to go. Even the Bible talks about write the vision down. And so there's something about writing those plans out that helps us to get there. You know what I'm talking about. So there's nothing wrong. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with making plans. But as we're setting our goals and as we're making our plans, we have to be careful that we examine our motives. Here's why we need to make sure that we examine our motives, because desire determines destination. In other words, we're driven by desire to the point to where we want a specific thing, and so we're going to take a specific course to get there or to have a specific outcome. Desire drives us to that place or to that outcome. Now, there again, that in and of itself isn't necessarily a bad thing, because I personally believe that man's desires came from God. Genesis 1 and 26, this is what the Bible says. Listen to this. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And guess what? God did exactly what he said he would do. He created man in his image and likeness. And the Bible says in 28, after that he had created them, that God blessed them. Now, let's not just roll over that, because it's important to remember that God's blessing was given to us more than just a blessing like you give somebody a present or you would give somebody some help in their time of need. It goes deeper than that. God's blessing was given to them to equip them to do his will. And so, though we're not going to take a lot of time today to get into it, but there's several references in Scripture that speak to this very same truth, that God blesses us to help us or to equip us to do what he's called us to do in the earth. Now, what is his will? Very simply, he continues on after the Bible says that he blessed them. He says this, he told them, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, the birds, every living thing that moves on the earth. There again, another key that's important for us to remember is that this wasn't a suggestion. A lot of people look at the Bible as a book of suggestions. That's why we're in the mess we're in. It's because we just look at the Bible as this book of suggestions. Oh, that's okay. But we decide to go our own way. That might work for you, but you know what I mean? Yeah. And so this wasn't a suggestion. This was a commandment. God commanded them to be fruitful. He commanded them to fill and subdue the earth. Amen. And so how does this tie in with our desires? Well, I believe that God placed within them, and not only Adam and Eve, but all of mankind, this innate desire or this innate want, if you will, for specific things. And when you look at that particular scripture, Genesis 1 and 26, you'll you'll notice that you'll see several components in there, one being family. Another being companionship, another being intimacy, another being authority and rulership. There's even adventure in there. In one form or another, all of us have these same basic desires to be in a family, to have companionship, to be intimate, to have dominion and rule over things, to be adventurous, we're curious, we want to learn and so on. All of these basic desires that we have, I believe, were given to us as part of the blessing that God gave to them and to us way back in Genesis. But I also want us to remember that it was in the context of having a passion for God's will. And then look at verse 31. Look at what he says. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. All of God's creation, including desire, God said was not only good, but it was very good. So what in the world happened? Sin. Simple as that. Sin happened because we were also given at that very same time the ability to choose our own path. So in Genesis chapter 3, Satan came along and began to talk to Eve. The Bible says that he tempted her, and then Adam and Eve chose to fall. They chose to sin. And notice what their immediate response is after this happened. Genesis 3 and 7, the eyes of the both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. The first time they looked at each other with sin, they noticed they were naked. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Aren't you happy for cotton? Hey, come on now. Yeah. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord. This is Adam and Eve. Heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What was their first reaction after this to God? They hid among the trees. So as soon as sin entered into their heart, it changed everything. It changed life to death. It changed their home from the garden and peace to an environment with weeds and thorns and hard times. It changed their work from God-given dominion to constant struggle just to survive, let alone to manage. It changed their desires, listen to this, from innocent to immoral. Sin tainted everything. So now because of sin, desire is almost a dirty word when it's said in our society today. And the reason is because man's desire shifted from God to our own lust and wants. And it shifted to the point to where today we live in constant war, where there's rape and incest, lust, pornography, broken marriages, broken children, broken futures. There's so much unrest in the world and tension and very little peace. There's a world that's filled with greed and stealing, and people are taken advantage of each and every day. And it's all because sin tainted everything, which skewed our direction. Amen. You ever met someone that has absolutely no sense of direction? Yeah. What happens? They spend most of their time trying to find out how to get to where they want to go. And there's a lot of times where they take a right, they were supposed to take a left. You know what I'm talking about? They get lost a lot. And so this is what happened to mankind. Sin skewed our sense of direction and got us way off track. So how far are we off track? Listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now, you may have just inwardly gasped and in your mind declared vehemently, yeah, that may be you, but not me. Well, just buckle up because you're not going to like this next scripture. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 and 2, listen to this. There again, what are we talking about? We're talking about how far we got off track from God's original intention, specifically with our desires, which there again determine our destination. Everything a person does, Proverbs 16 and 2, seems pure in his own opinion. You see, this is why people can do the things that they do without any sense of wrongdoing. Because we've become professional justifiers of our actions. Back in the garden, when God confronted them, what did Adam do? He said, well, it's because of the woman that you made. So he looked at the woman, and what did she do? Well, the serpent tempted me. What were they doing? They were justifying their actions. We become professional justifiers when it comes to our own actions and the path that we choose. But here's the problem with that. Because of our skewed sense of direction, the Bible says, Proverbs 16 and 25, that there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, there again, I don't believe this is just in the context of spiritual death, but I believe also that it involves our relationship and our finances and our children and our work habits and the community that we live in and so on. I mean, things can look right to us. Everything looks hunky-dory. You know what hunky-dory means? It means it looks pretty good. But guess what? It's the wrong path, taking us to the wrong place. I mean, we're so happy we're making great time. What difference does it make if we're heading to the wrong place? So God gave us the answer to help us to keep on track, and that's that second portion we looked at in Proverbs 6. He says, a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps and establishes them. So we have his direction available to us in our lives. Now, I know we have our own plans and our own direction and our own way of getting there, and that's all great, but here's a tough question. Are you sure you're on the right track, headed to the right destination? In other words, when everything's all said and done, will you end up at the right place with the right outcome? That's the key. There again, if you're talking about a restaurant, it's really not that big of a deal if you end up at the wrong one. But when you're talking about your marriage, your children, the community you're to live in, who you're going to allow into your inner circle, when you're talking about things like your life's calling and purpose, the resources that you have, meaning your gifts and your talents, your finances, all of those things that you're able to give. And most of all, when you're talking about your soul, what we have to realize is that there's too much at stake to leave it up to chance. So we need to follow God's direction. Does that make sense to anybody? Yeah. So in the few last moments that we have together today, I want to just give you two quick points to help us to follow God's direction. And then we're going to dig in deeper in the next few weeks. There again, we're just simply laying a foundation today that we're going to build upon. So if we're going to follow God's direction, we need to default to God's desires. There again, sin has skewed our sense of direction, and it skewed our desires. And so what we have to do, if you will, is to reboot. Now, when a computer's running slow, how many of you have computers? Well, sometimes if you've had a computer for any length of time, it starts to get a little slower than it used to. You know, you hit one thing and something else happens. You know, and just all kinds of funny things start to happen. And so there comes a point in that computer's life when you have to do a reboot. Now, a reboot is simply restarting the computer and reloading the original operating system and software. And so when you do that, what happens? All of the personal stuff, all of the personal things that you have gone in there and thought you was doing a good thing, when you hit, yes, I will accept that, or yes, that looks good, and you go there and you know what I'm talking about, right? All of those things all of a sudden get erased, and the computer is reset to factory settings. In other words, it's an untainted version of the operating system. Fresh. So now you're back to where it was when you first bought it, with its speed and all these things, original performance. Now, how about for us? Because we don't have a restart button. So how do we reboot? Well, For us, a reboot is not necessarily changing the desires of our heart. They're again for companionship, adventure, and dominion, and all those things to be successful, because there again, we believe those are from God. But what it is, a reboot for us is simply changing the purpose of our desires. In other words, we understand that God wants us to be successful and to have a family and so on and so on and so on. But we also understand that the purpose of our desires is more than just to satisfy our own cravings and our own wants, but it's to fulfill a greater purpose. That's God's will. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so when we purpose in our hearts to all of a sudden begin to default back to the original desires that we had. There again, I believe God wants us more blessed than we want to. There's just a way He wants us to get there. So when we align our desires with His, what happens? It keeps us on track. Write this down to give us a little more understanding on this. There's a story that talks about this in detail. And it's a story of David and Bathsheba. 2 Samuel, read chapters 11 and 12. And then after you've read all that, with his confrontation from Nathan and so on, the prophet, then turn to Psalm 51, and then read the prayer that David prayed after Nathan had left, and he was having a real close talk with God. It's a very poignant example of what we're talking about today. There again, to stay on track. So we need to, there again, default to God's desires. And finally today, we need to default to God's direction. There again, back to one of our earlier points, is that sin tainted our sense of direction. But God is not only all-powerful and all-knowing, He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. But listen to this, check this out. God is not tempted or affected or tainted by sin in any way, shape, or form. The psalmist said it like this, Psalm 18 and 30. As for God, His way is perfect, and His word is flawless. What does that mean? He gives good directions. He gives real good directions. But here's the tough question. How many times do we choose our direction over His? Imagine, if you will, someone coming from a small rural town to a very large city. Never been out of their town, let alone to a big city like L.A. or New York. And so they jump in the plane because they have to go into the big city one day. So they jump in the plane and they get to the airport of that big city. They get out, they grab their baggage, and they head to the curb. They get to the curb and they tell the airport employee standing there, I need to get to such and such and so and so. And so the airport employee, he calls a cab over and he opens the door. He puts the luggage in the trunk for the guy. And he tells the cab driver, this is the address that they need to go. Now the cab driver knows the city well. I mean, to the point to where it's like the back of his hand. He knows it so well. As a matter of fact, the cab driver was born there and he's lived there his whole life. Right there in the middle of that big city. Now I got a question for you. In that scenario, who should be driving the cab? The country bumpkin or the city guy? Why? See, because he knows where he's going. He knows the best route to take. He knows the traffic at this time of day. All of those things that he is familiar with, it's just naturally part of who he is because he lives there. It wouldn't make any sense at all for the country bumpkin guy to jump in there, never even been outside of his town of 400 people. They don't even have a stoplight, to jump in the back and say, well, I think you should take a left. And I think that you should go this way. And I think that you should go that way. They have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. In life, the same thing is true. Our direction needs to yield to His direction. Why? Because He knows, listen to this, He not only knows where we're supposed to go, but He knows the outcome of every turn that we would ever possibly make. Amen. Imagine that. He knows what will happen if you go left instead of straight. He knows what will happen if you stop instead of go. He knows what happens if you take a right instead of a left. The Lord knows the outcome of every possible turn you can make in your life. What does the Bible say? Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans for your good, to prosper you and to help you to live in health and strength and life. And so if that's God's will, why wouldn't we let him give us direction to get there? It only makes sense. You've never been in this afternoon, but he's there waiting for you. You've never been in tomorrow, but he's there waiting for you. And so here's what I'd like to do. I'd like you to encourage this week from Proverbs chapter 3. And as you journey through life this week, I would encourage you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but seek his will in all that you do. And here's your promise. And he will show you which path to take.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace.